everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. Happy Wednesday. Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll is up. It's 100 days until the Chiefs' first game of the season. How many wins will they have this season? 16 to 17, 13 to 15, 10 to 12, or less than 10?
How are we trending so far?
Leaning heavy towards 13 to 15.
I think that seems to be the logical choice for a lot of people. Yeah. 13 to 15, right? 16 and 17 is... that's a pretty damn good season. If you go 17-0, 16-1, 15-2, still pretty good season as well, you know, depending on how you get there. Right. So I think I think that's going to be the runaway, if I'm gonna guess. I think that's where we're gonna see the runaway with the votes this morning, is that 13-15 range.
It's the safe bet, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I'm glad to see the less than 10 only with 1.9% of the vote. I was a little worried that we'd have some doubters, I don't know.
What would you be doubting on this team right now? If you're a Chiefs fan this morning and you're taking off your Royals pants because Salvi struck out last night, putting on your Chiefs complain pants, how could you even wake up this morning thinking they would be, what did you say, 8 to 10? Was that the
less
number?
Than 10.
Less than 10. How could you even wake up this morning thinking an Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes-led team would have less than 10 wins? That's got to be people just voting just for the hell of it, right?
Probably.
Like what would tell you, what would be the one thing maybe that I'm missing that you would say, oh my God, that's why they're going to have less than 10 wins?
Yeah, you just go negative with everything. So like Chris Jones, you're older. He doesn't have it anymore. Left side of the line, screwed. Rashee Rice suspended. The injury is going to be too slow coming off of it. Hollywood Brown's never had a full season. I'm just like being extra haterade. Pacheco, right, he's washed. Like, you just do everything. You know, Nick Bolton, that was his best season of his career. That's not happening again. Like,
what
you just
fun
do that.
Is that, though?
Yeah, if
that's your attitude in May, at the beginning of June and the season, like, hasn't even started. They haven't even broke for summer break yet, and that's the attitude that you have, and you're saying less than 10 wins. Are you going to pay attention during the season, or are you just going to check out and let this thing go to hell? Because that's kind of the mindset that you're putting yourself in. I can't imagine having that mindset about this team right now. I'm excited for the start of football season, and as Bink said, he actually got me more excited because like they can kind of lay in low a little bit. You haven't seen much out of this team.
True.
And he used the term vengeance time, and I like that a lot for this organization.
I think there's worries in the secondary, but we don't need to talk about that in May. We can wait to see, you know, how guys look in training camp or who's kind of really vying to be cornerback number two. I mean, you're gonna have a second year starter and a fourth year starter who hasn't really taken that full lead in Brian Cook. No Justin Reed. McDuffie's in a contract year. If Chris Jones is aging, does pressure slow down up front?
Yep.
Can Karloftis create more?
About the two new guys they drafted, too?
Those are also rookies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can get into those later, but it's May, right? Like, they just showed up to the front door at One Arrowhead Drive. So, I'm not going to get into, you know, where they can be really successful, where they can be, kind of hurt, but... we'll talk about that because it is 100 days until the Chiefs will play their first game.
Mm-hmm.
And that game obviously is in Brazil against the Chargers, where if worms had machine guns.
If worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them.
Right. So we asked the question on the other side, which is the biggest sports debate in the Kansas City sports history?
Yeah, we got Jersh coming on, and he's probably the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to the most debated topic in Kansas City sports history, right?
Mm-hmm.
When no matter what side you're on, Gordo would have been out if he would have sent him. But it doesn't mean people don't want to see what would have happened. Maybe they throw the ball high, or who knows what happens in that situation. But I think Gordo definitely would have been out. But it doesn't stop everybody from having that debate. You go to any place in town and you bring up Mike Jersley, what are they going to say? He should have sent him. I mean, that's like the immediate thing that people say with Mike Jersley. So I think it's the biggest debate in Kansas City sports history.
Yes. I would have said no until it happened, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But like my whole life, so I always inserted myself into like the grown men conversation of sports. Like I always kept my ear to the wall where it came to like my dad and uncles talking about the Chiefs. And my whole life it was Gerbach or Gannon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at the numbers, like Gannon wasn't like blowing people away. Like they weren't like over the top. Like, oh my God, this guy has to start. It's hindsight. He goes to the Oakland Raiders at the time. Wins an MVP, goes to a Super Bowl, gets embarrassed by Gruden. And I think that's why people, like, essentially were like this guy. Plus, Elvis was like hated here.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. The deep down seated thing. You say it's hindsight. It wasn't for those players in that locker room. Right. They couldn't believe what Marty was doing. And that's why there was a disconnect. I mean, look, Marty did a lot of great things here, but he sucked in the playoffs and really hurt his players by the way that he approached the postseason. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that can be forgotten because of the successes that he had in bringing this football program back on the map and making it a relevant franchise, you know, for the first time in 30 years. But also, he was terrible in the postseason. You never should have gone back to Elvis Gerbach in that type of situation. Mm-hmm. Rich Gannon was the hot hand. He had the team believing in him. And sometimes you have to make tough decisions as a head coach, even if you think, okay, this is the guy we went out and acquired. He's the guy we're paying all this money to. He needs to be the guy on the field in the biggest games. Doesn't matter at that point in time. You got to go with the hot hand. And they totally screwed that one up. So I think up until the Gerschle situation, right, mm-hmm. that was clearly the biggest sports debate in Kansas City, was Gerbach versus Gannon. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think over the years, we've gotten some other ones that have popped up. Should Patrick Mahomes have played the second half versus the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs? I'm a firm no on that because of the way that everything has played out right now in front of our eyes. I don't want to change a damn thing about the arc of Patrick Mahomes' career. NBA or NHL, great July debate in Kansas City. We have that seemingly every year.
Both.
Christian Cologne being drafted over Chris Sale. I'm a big, you know, butterfly effect guy. Cologne was involved in two of the biggest, you know, moments in Royals history. So I wouldn't change that one.
Sale would have cut up your City Connects.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you probably would have traded him, and who knows if he even would have won a World Series.
He wouldn't have made it
right?
here. He'd have lost his head in like 2 years.
Yeah. You're
Look
probably
what happened
right
in
about
Chicago.
That. Yeah, fast, man. Yeah. That guy went. You know, jersey cutting real fast, and so that was always a debate that people had. You had block foul on Thomas Robinson. That's a great one because it was clearly a block.
Yeah.
Bob Davis said so. Block. Rest in peace, Bob. That's but he called it.
I mean, literally, go to if you ever want to start a whole bunch of you know what with Robin Carrington, just go up to each of them separate ways.
Yes.
Big Carrington, was it a block or a foul? Impressive. Like, come on, man. Yeah. You know, it's a foul.
It's a block.
And then you go to Rob. Like, dude, it's clear block. You
clear block.
First.
Yeah, of clear block. It was clear.
Huge
go
debate.
Back and watch the video. It's a clear
huge debate.
Nobody's saying it was a foul or anything like that. It was a block as the day is long. I mean,
where'd you go to college?
He got that big hand up there and knocked that thing away, right? And then the final debate I think that people are now having is build new in Kansas or renovate in Missouri.
It's on the text line.
Is it really?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I threw that in as kind of a joke.
No, it's on the text line. Somebody says all-time now debate is Kansas or Missouri with sports teams.
Really?
100%. Staring at it.
It belongs on the
Matt's
list for sure, yeah.
Okay, I'm glad because I was like, just like a kind of throw away, ha-ha, funny, yeah. Let's have some fun. Build new in Kansas or renovate in Missouri, right?
It's a thing.
Did we miss anything on that list?
I don't think so.
Did text line come up with anything good that we like, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I'm looking, but I'm just seeing like.
I think we hit them all.
Somebody says, "Is Patrick Mahomes the biological father of Josh Allen?"
Yeah.
I don't know. I think one that's like a deep cut would be like, "What if Andy flew to Arizona?"
I know that's another good one too, yeah. But that's not a debate. That's
no,
a, like
it didn't
a what
happen.
If you know, and you pull back the yeah. If he would have flown to Arizona, I just can't see him taking the Arizona Cardinal job over the Chiefs job. I just can't see that, especially when, you know, the history with the Chiefs and the Hunt family and Dick Vermeil telling him take the Kansas City job and, you know, Arizona being an utter dumpster fire every year. So, he made the right decision.
Coming up on the other side, no shows in one word with Mac Morey here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
On a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, myself with you until 10 a.m. Royals again in action tonight. Got a tough one. Hunter Green, but Noah Cameron on the mound. Should be a big start for NC, right? Hosting a under one ERA. Got a game where you want to avoid a sweep. Want to prove that you can stick around in the starting rotation. Obviously, Reagan's still out, but should be back shortly. And should have Seth Lugo back for his next start. But big start for Noah Cameron against Hunter Green, who is a young up-and-comer whippersnapper for a for an arm in the National League. But for those of you that were under a rock, yesterday was the walk-in day for OTAs where everybody shows up. You know, it's big, man. Who didn't show? Who did show? No James Cook in Buffalo.
Well, we knew that was going to be a you know a possibility, right? He's right. Still not happy about his contract. I don't blame him. You're a running back. You don't get paid in this league, so hold out and try to get a check before you know they send you out to pasture.
And then your guy, Kirk Cousins, no show.
No show. I don't blame him for not showing up in Atlanta, right? I mean, this is a situation where it's time to move on. You got Michael Penix Jr. there, and if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm trading for Kirk Cousins right now and screwing this guy, Aaron Rodgers, because that would be the ultimate up yours to Aaron Rodgers. If you're looking to, you know, really get this guy kind of going and make a decision, like he's now holding this franchise up. And I hate that fact for the Steelers, but the Steelers are also doing it to themselves. They're allowing this guy to basically hold up their franchise. And if you talk to them, I'm sure Tomlin would tell you he's not holding us up at all. But he's not a good enough player to be in limbo with at the most important position on your team. And so you need a quarterback. I don't care what Duck, Rudolph, Hodges, Mason, whatever the guy's name is down there in Pittsburgh, who's quarterbacking the team right now. You need a quarterback on that team, and I would make a trade for Kirk Cousins. Again, I don't think the acquisition cost is going to be a lot for a guy coming off an Achilles who wasn't very good, who makes a lot of money, right? Maybe a fourth-round draft pick, and that's worth it to me if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Flip something small to Atlanta. They want to get rid of the guy and move on from Aaron Rodgers and now give Aaron Rodgers a taste of his own medicine, because I don't think anybody's ever stood up to that guy, and Aaron Rodgers is nothing but a bully.
Well, Terry Bradshaw is pretty pissed.
Yes, he is.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just to me is a joke. But what are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's
that
not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California. Go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
And chew on bark and. And whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing. So.
Terry Bradshaw saying Aaron Rodgers can go chew on bark is one of the all-timers right now.
I don't think I've ever heard that saying before.
I never did either.
Is it a real one?
I don't know. It's Louisiana, so I'm sure they just make things up down there. I think they eat squirrel down in Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken, and so they can enjoy that. But that was definitely from SEC country over there, that interview, wasn't it? Good Lord.
I just Google search it. It says chewing on tree bark, especially for humans, is generally not recommended.
No, I wouldn't think eating wood is a good thing. We don't like the dog to eat wood. You know, she'll eat the mulch or something like that. We're like, stop eating the wood. There's no reason to eat all that. But if Aaron Rodgers wants to chew on bark, by all means, go ahead and do that. But, you know, Bradshaw's ticked off. I think everybody's ticked off right now. Like, if you're a Steeler fan right now, what are we doing? You know, do you look yourself in the mirror and be proud to be a Pittsburgh Steeler fan at this point in time? I know it's a great organization overall, but this makes them look as weak as I've ever seen an organization look.
Yeah, I guess people care as much as you want to care. I just don't really care what he does, when he does it, when it happens. It is what it is. I do think it is kind of desperate.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've all had, like, those friends that in life date someone and you kind of ask that friend, hey, you don't really seem like yourself. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you being this person? Why are you changing something that you've always been super against, but now you're super for? Oh, because this person is affecting who you are and who you need to be, and it's not that healthy for you.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what's going on with Rodgers or that's what we're led to believe. With Terry Bradshaw, yeah, like, what are you going to do, bring this guy in for a year? Going to change your franchise in a year?
Right.
He's not going to mentor anybody.
Nope.
That we know of. I don't believe he would.
I don't even think that guy, if he were going to do that, is even on the roster at this point.
Right. I mean, you're going to mentor Mason Rudolph and hope that he gets the job done in 2 years. Plus, I think we're seeing what's happening in Pittsburgh is, I don't know if it's happening in Pittsburgh like it's happened in Philadelphia in the past where you've had a great coach. And I thought Cody made a good point about this yesterday that sometimes fatigue happens in franchises.
It does.
You see it in New England.
Yep.
It was great. It was fun. And then it wasn't. And
you saw it in Philadelphia for however many years Andy Reid was successful, the head honcho, and then it ended very sour.
Right.
And with Pittsburgh, I'm afraid that it's not going to be longevity that's going to end this relationship with maybe Tomlin in that organization, but it might just be this deciding factor of, well, the organization wants him, but the head coach maybe doesn't. There's other people that are backing Tomlin, as in Bradshaw's comments that we just heard, that he's not necessarily a fan of this move, and it's a, you know, a house divided, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, and those don't typically stand. And yeah. if this is something that will be the dividing factor, that's not necessarily, I don't think, Aaron's fault, but it is more so leaning on the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, well, we're going to put all our eggs in the basket for this guy, and then this basket's going to, or this guy's just going to take the eggs and leave the basket. Like, right. that's what Aaron Rodgers may end up doing. And like we heard yesterday, he said he might retire a Packer if that's the case. We don't know what's going on. For me,
as a douche, I mean, there's just no other way to put it. You know,
you have, you know, your taste for him. Yeah. It's not there. It's not fun for you. You don't enjoy it. For me, it doesn't really bother me, mm-hmm. but it also, I understand why it bothers other people. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, you're not concerned, but you understand why people. Yeah, correct. Yeah, I get that. That's with a lot of things in life.
I understand that more than people being like, "Oh yeah, Rodgers, great guy. I think he's got plenty of left." I don't understand that logic.
No, that. Yeah,
but
I
definitely understand
left.
The logic of being, "Hey, I don't. This guy can pound sand, eat bark, whatever the hell it is, chew on bark."
but what he's doing to this franchise, he's leading them on. Again, Pittsburgh's allowing themselves to be led on. We've all been led on in our lives. You've followed a girl probably a little bit too long, and she led you on and whatnot, and you did everything she wanted to say, like, oh my God, she was hot, or whatever the situation was, right? And so that's kind of where I feel like we are right now with Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are allowing this guy to lead them around by the nose, and that's pathetic. It really is. Like, it's embarrassing for the Pittsburgh Steelers that you're letting this guy have that much control over your franchise. But this is also what happens when you put your eggs into that basket. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh ever really thought about a backup plan at the quarterback position, and by the time they did, all the chairs were gone, and they're left standing there with Aaron Rodgers going, "You interested?" And he goes, "Not really. What are you going to do for me?" They're like, "I don't know. Are you interested?" "Well, I don't know. Get back to me." And so now you've got a future Hall of Famer saying, "Get back to me." It would be like Christie Brinkley back in the day going, "Hang on a second. Get back to me in 2 weeks when Billy Joel says no," or something, you know, whatever the case may be, right? So you're in a situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers where you put all your eggs into this basket, but this basket doesn't know if he really is interested in what you have, and you're kind of just standing around looking at each other right now, and the Steelers are probably hoping that he comes and plays for them, because they are SOL without a quarterback. Any team would be SOL without a quarterback, but they should have proceeded without Aaron Rodgers in their plans, and if he did show up at the end, then great. I'd rather have a plan going in, and I don't care what they tell me, Mason Hodges Rudolph is not a plan to be out there as the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not an acceptable quarterback in the NFL.
I think the other thing that's kind of eye-opening with AR-12 is that you have a situation where you're coming off an Achilles injury where it started to kind of come back to life towards the end of the season. He didn't have a terrible year last year. Statistically, it was fine mm-hmm. for his age and considering the situation he was in with the Jets that he put himself into. But I think the other thing, too, that's kind of eye-opening for Pittsburgh fans or Pittsburgh franchise people is that maybe you should be doing some offseason workouts. Maybe if you are going to join a new team with different guys, like, I understand if he was still right in New York, yeah, you know who Garrett Wilson is, you know who these guys are, you know what the offense is, there's nothing new there. But with Pittsburgh, it's kind of different. You have to make a first impression on people. Oh my God, that's Aaron Rodgers, the guy that everybody gives a bunch of you know what to on the media and right. thinks that he's just overpowering, over the top guy that doesn't need to talk to Terry Bradshaw. He's actually here with everybody else, with all these rookies trying to get to know people, trying to get a connection with DK Metcalf, trying to get these things sort of figured out, and he's not there.
He's not there.
And it's, you go back to the dating analogy, he's sending the maybe text. Mm-hmm. "Hey, would you like to hang out Saturday?" Maybe.
Or he's looking at it and the three bubbles are popping up mm-hmm. and you're kind of waiting for a response and you're like holding off on your plans, waiting for what this person's going to say, and then the bubbles turn into nothing and you waited 3 days and you got no answer.
I feel very attacked. The other thing too about it, to continue that analogy, is that they've gotten ice cream one time, right? They've gone out. Mm-hmm. They had a good time. Man. He threw to DK Metcalf. He went and talked to some people in the organization. They got ice cream. Now you're trying to hang out again. And every single time you try to hang out, it's either a maybe, it's either, oh my gosh, I thought it sent, I thought I hit the arrow four and it didn't go. Yeah. We've all done that.
Oh, yeah.
We've all done that.
Oh, yes. Oh, I thought I responded. Yeah. Oh, it was in my unsent messages.
Yeah.
And common mistake.
And I think the other thing, too, with it is that it's, hey, we have plans Saturday at 8. You still good? And you send that on Wednesday. Yeah, she'll be ready. Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Hey, I'm sorry. My dog's getting sick. Or, you know, I can't make it. And at some point, you got to move on. Or you got to hold on to hope. And if they hold on to hope and he plays in Pittsburgh and he shows up next week and he's ready to go, then Pittsburgh can look at all of us and give us middle fingers and say, told you.
Yeah.
But will it be in your best interest? Whereas if they just cut ties, you never have to worry about that anymore. You never had a real connection. You never really in love. Yeah, you had some flirtatious vibes, but it's over with.
You know, and the other thing, too, is we're not talking about an offensive lineman or a running back holding out here, or even not holding out because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a team. You're the quarterback, and you're not showing up. And you're the quarterback, as you mentioned, Dusty, on a new team and potentially are not showing up to this kind of stuff. Look around the league right now, other than Kirk Cousins, who obviously has a different issue. What starting quarterback is not part of OTAs ever? I mean, I don't ever recall a quarterback taking a stance in the new era of the NFL. Oh, I'm not going to OTAs. No, you are the main piece of OTAs. You are the leader. You need to be there. How is Aaron Rodgers going to come in a huddle and look at these guys who've been out here busting their ass and him just kind of walk off the street to go, all right, here's what we're going to do. And you're supposed to listen to this guy who hasn't been here through the blood, sweat, and tears and all this kind of stuff. And so I don't know. I just, the more I, you know, continue to follow the story and hear about the story, I'm like, Pittsburgh, now you're the ones who look like the fool. It's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, an NFL organization, a premier NFL organization. Sorry, just saw the Vinny play. Allowing themselves to be played by a has-been quarterback. It's embarrassing.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
So real quick, Bob heard that sound yesterday. What's one thing you worry about yourself? Body odor. And was asking if people still use deodorant every day.
Yeah, because we were having a conversation about it over the weekend. A lot of people are moving away. And you said,
what?
Yeah, you go, I'm not using that aluminum stuff anymore.
Yeah, I use Native from Target.
Okay. Aluminum stuff. What is?
There's like aluminum and deodorant that like causes skinnier. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, that's the new thing now. Everybody's like, all right, enough of this crap.
I buy that and a bottle of Kim Crawford.
Oh, you're into that now, too. Huh? Look at you. Baby. Did you move over to Nall finally, get closer to the stadium?
I'm trying.
Oh, that's funny.
But like every day, right? Sometimes twice
a day. Every day, yes.
Like you go hoop it up with the boys after you're done.
Absolutely,
you lather.
You have to.
Yes. No, that's not optional.
I was going to say,
let's just make
like,
sure everyone. That's
right
still-
guard works for the left arm too.
Yeah, but people are making their own deodorant. Somebody's talking about putting bacon grease on.
What?
Like this bizarre what people are doing now.
There's a new deodorant called New Spice.
Nice. All right, one word. Let's get to it. One word on the Royals right now. A bad weekend, two losses in a row to the Reds. Yesterday, most recently, 7-2 loss against former Royal Brady Singer. One word.
Boring. Mm. Okay. They're not playing inspired baseball right now.
No.
They're not playing exciting baseball right now. They're making errors. They're getting caught on the base paths. The hitting obviously hasn't been there. It just hasn't been great over the last week. It's been kind of a bore the last week.
Struggling would be my word to describe the Royals right now.
Struggling.
Because everything that Bob had mentioned, plus it gives me the vibe where he said people were pressing like Bobby and those guys at the top of the lineup. It makes me think of when the offensive line for the Chiefs this last season was pressing because other guys around them weren't pulling their weight. It was causing Tooney or Creed to be these guys mm-hmm. that they've got to worry about the guys around them more so than their just own position, which was causing faults in the system. So I would say struggling right now, but it's May.
Yeah.
Everything's fine, and you're projected to win 85 games. So.
Exactly. It's May. It's not, like, we're not even to June 1st yet. Things can get figured out. They'll make trades and all that kind of stuff, but right now, meh.
All right, one word. You mentioned that Royals offense. Manny Ramirez wants to help any team. He thinks he can significantly improve their offense. One word on the Royals getting Manny Ramirez.
Why not? Try. What the hell? I'd bring him in for a tryout. Absolutely would.
No.
Why not?
Absolutely. He's 52.
So, what's it cost you? An airline ticket?
He showed a video of him hitting a ball off a tee yesterday. I thought he almost dislocated his knee.
Have you seen the lineup that we're running out right now, man?
I have. I trust those guys to hit a little bit better than Manny Ramirez hadn't seen a baseball fit on his way in probably 10 years.
52 Manny Ramirez or Michael Massey?
Michael Massey. I don't know if Manny Ramirez would even see a 97 mile.
I'd love to see it.
I mean, maybe on the Savannah Bananas I'd see Manny Ramirez.
Well, that'd be fun. I'm in support of that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Go get a tryout, Manny. Let's see what can happen. Julio Franco played at 50.
Okay.
Give it a shot. One word. All right, we're going over to the NBA. One word on LeBron James, likely to pick up his player option. Surprise, surprise.
Smart.
$52 million.
I thought he was going to opt out.
Do you think somebody else is going to give him $52 million? I don't.
No, but this is just always the joke I make with player options. No, like, oh, I think he'll opt into that one.
But what do you think? 90% of the players do opt out of these things.
I don't know about that. That's a very high percentage.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about leaving $45 million in the plate. A lot of these guys can't always get that out.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. A lot of guys do. Like Mike Moustakas opted out and ended up signing an $8 million or $4 million contract, whatever it was here in Kansas City, $6 million deal, you know, in Kansas City. We've seen guys opt out and it fail at 40-some years old, and somebody's guaranteeing you $52.5 million to play basketball next year. You take that check.
He's got 32 days or 33 days to decide. Clearly, he's going to opt in. I think that's what McAfee showed it yesterday, like a funny bit. Rumor has it LeBron James can opt into his $52.6 million contract. Shocker.
Yeah, exactly. Shocker.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he should. Now, if he was 10 years younger, I would say, hell no.
No, of course not.
Now, but Lugo will opt out of his contract.
As he should.
Yeah, now some guys like Moose gambled on themselves and they lost.
Yeah.
But Moose still ended up making a career out of his career, going 10-plus years, getting the pension, and going to retire a Royal on Saturday at the K.
If LeBron wanted that fifth ring,
yeah,
he would not accept that player option.
Correct.
He would take a pay cut.
He would go to Cleveland.
That's okay. He would figure something out.
How many more years does this guy have?
Two. He's got one more kid to come up to play 5 seconds
there
with.
There you go.
Seriously.
Because I look at him, I like, he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all.
He could play for another four.
Yeah, I'm asking, like, how long do you think this guy can play?
5 years, honestly.
Jeez.
I mean, he's a top 15 player in the league still.
And that would put him at what, 47?
45, right? Isn't he 40 even? Yeah. Which is, yeah, it's absurd. What also was absurd was Tyrese Halliburton last night, 32 points, 15 assists, zero turnovers. One word on the Pacers being up 3-1 against the Knicks.
Over.
Daddy.
Like, Daddy, that game was close, but it never felt close last night.
Yeah, Daddy showed up, and Son showed out, right? What was it, 32, 12, and 15, and zero?
Zero.
First time in NBA Eastern Conference Finals history that they've had the zero in the turnover.
It's incredible.
He's overrated.
Overrated?
No, I'm kidding. That's what he said, that he's the most
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the most overrated player. Yeah.
Yeah, overrate that.
Overrate that. Shots last night. He took over last night.
I saw a picture of Team USA from 2008, I believe, all asleep on the plane, and it just said Thunder Indiana Finals mode.
Oh,
everybody's just asleep. Yeah,
everybody's asleep.
That thing is what the NBA wanted, and they got it.
Well, this is what happens. I mean, people scream and yell about, you know, what's that? We call that parody in sports, right? You got it, most likely going to the NBA Finals. It's Indiana versus Oklahoma City.
Charles Barkley would be happy because he was mad those clowns over at ESPN were talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
He was mad.
Remember we played that audio about 5 months ago?
And he's still mad.
Oh, yeah.
He's still mad. He goes, you're trying to make Anthony Edwards the face of the NBA. You can't make somebody the face. They have to take it.
It's also
SGA took it, he said.
It's also sad that that is the 3-1 series, because we only have one more night of TNT, because that series is over. Tonight, Minnesota wins. Minnesota loses. That series
probably
is over.
Yep.
Oklahoma City coming home to gentlemen sweep it. And then I guess we go back to the Garden, but I'm not sure it matters at this point when it comes to that game, being down 3-1.
Nah.
Can't stop Halliburton, man.
Comes back to that game one. That game one loss. I mean, it's like with the Celtics series. You know, those first two losses, the Knicks were up 20. They had it. They choked. Yep, at home.
Damn. I need it 7, man.
Me too. I was rooting for the Knicks last night for that reason, and I'm a Knicks hater.
Where's all the people hating on the overly hyped up shots of Timothée Chalamet? Yeah, right? Like,
exactly.
Right? We see him more than we see T-Swift. But ain't nobody got nothing to say about it.
I see Spike Lee more than I see Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I loved Ernie Johnson talking to Timothée Chalamet last night. You're going to make me the coolest grandpa in the world, man.
I missed that part. He said that to Ernie. Yeah, That's great.
No, he said it to Timothy.
Oh.
He shook his hand. He's like, dude, I'm the coolest grandpa in the world now. My grandkids are jealous.
Oh.
And Timothy's like, I'm going to play you in the biopic.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it shows you the kind of love that these guys have. It goes back to our announcer conversation from the beginning. What number has Ernie Johnson ever used? Or what Charles? Yeah. Like, these guys are just... People love these guys, man.
They're fantastic.
And Dusty brings up a great point. Like, one more game, and this is it. And I know they're all staying together. The show will not be the same. Once you move to the four-letter network, it is not going to be the same that you have right now. They've got a lot of freedoms. They've got a lot of fun. They're not buttoned up at all. It has been their show. Suits are going to get involved. I guarantee it. That's what happens all the time. And it's never going to be the same show, regardless if it's the same personalities. And I could see one of those guys just going, I'm out, you know, because you need to be on with Greeny. You need to be on with Golic. You need to be on with Zubin. You need to be on with all these people at ESPN every single day. And they're going to go, I'm out of this nonsense. I don't need this.
One last one.
Yeah, we got one last one. All right, one word on this funny audio from a hockey announcer.
Got some Yahoo chap chirping at me from behind. Get out of here. What was he doing? Security. Try that again. I'm fired up. He threw my chair at me. Hit me right in the back of the leg. Like, what was he doing here? Unreal. Have another beer.
Raw.
Yeah.
That's some raw announcing right there, man.
Dude's announcing a game and a fan attacks him and hits him with a chair. Like
Bobby Knight's ghost?
God. Exactly. I mean,
it's awesome. In the Canadian, you know, the hockey talk, Canadian accent was great.
Have another beer. Maybe not. He's had way too many Labatt Blues.
Yes.
God.
Unreal. Have another beer. Unreal. Have another beer.
Say that to Binkley next time he has a hot take.
Yes.
And maybe I will, Bob. Coming up on the other side, there's 100 days until football starts for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mac is there. Let me tell you much. He is there, and he will ask us what is his bold prediction and what are yours. 913-586-7965. 100 days until football for the Kansas City Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Yesterday, I know you got to rip some takes, and you're 100 days away from your boys in red playing pigskin football.
I think everybody's excited about it, right?
Yeah,
100 days
there,
from the Chiefs in Brazil, 99 days from whatever mess they're going to show us on Thursday night with Philadelphia and Jerry's team.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones? Still a dying question I'm trying to figure out.
Yep. So we got that game on Thursday night. That really doesn't count. The real opener is Friday, and that is 100 days away. We're 64 days away from the Hall of Fame game as well. So we're getting close to that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't even announced yet. I don't know.
Gastineau versus Favre.
That would be good.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, all I know is we got 100 days till our boys get ready to go.
Mm.
Kickoff. And with that,
Chargers versus Lions is the Hall of Fame game.
Mm. That's today. It's today.
Mm-hmm. So I ask you, 100 burning football topics, 100 days until Chiefs game one. What is your bold prediction for the Chiefs this season? I ask you, text line as well, 913-586-7965.
I think my bold prediction is this is the second greatest offensive season of Patrick Mahomes' career. Obviously, the first being 50 and 5,000. This will be the second greatest offensive performance of Patrick Mahomes' career. Because I just think 50 and 5,000 is a lot, especially when the last two games are going to be not played because you're going to have everything locked up. So I think the second greatest offensive year for Patrick Mahomes. That's my bold prediction.
Mm.
Okay, I like that. So his second best year, depending on how you want to, 4,700 yards, 38 touchdowns, 6 picks. The other best year would be 5,200 yards, 41 touchdowns, 12 picks. So take your pick there. But yeah, maybe over 5,000 yards, over 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes 40 touchdowns and 4,800 yards,
it's pretty amazing.
And has like 12 or less interceptions, it's a good year.
That's, yeah.
It's a good year, fairly decent enough year. Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take that.
And Joe Burrow will win the MVP.
That's right. It's his turn, right?
Yeah. That's how this works. Yes.
His owner won't even be awake to see it.
Oh, my God. The owner sleeping in the golf cart at practice yesterday sums up everybody watching Joe Burrow.
Why are you even there? Like, why is the owner? Like, what are you doing?
Because you can be. I mean, that's a total. I'm just going to sit in the golf cart move.
Okay.
Mike Brown sleeping at practice is. It just sums up. Sums up the Cincinnati Bengals.
He looked like everybody's grandpa at Thanksgiving at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, yes. It really did.
Just
yeah,
chin to the chest, no life there. No,
Dallas and Washington's
you go put
on.
Your finger under his nose to make sure there's still air coming out.
You're right. He's alive. He's alive.
Right.
Dusty, what's yours?
Travis Kelce won't have over 800 yards receiving. Nor should he.
I agree. Nor should he.
Last year he had 823. I get it. Missed the final game of the season. He's your fourth best option when it comes to the receiving room in that room right now. I don't think he needs to be 900,000. I get it's his last year, but his impact is more important inside 20 yards, inside the red area. That red area is where Travis Kelce needs to be effective. I want to see touchdowns. I don't care about yards. I think he has. I don't think he has over 800 yards this year as a receiver. Went from 920-something to 823 or 828. He's 35. He's a year older. His role is no longer. It's like Salvador Perez. You're not the fourth hitter in this lineup. You're the sixth or seventh hitter at best in this lineup. Travis Kelce, you're the fourth option. It's Rice. It's Worthy. It's Hollywood. And then it's you, bud. And there's no shame in that
game.
There's
nothing wrong with that at all. Nope. No, you have to understand when it's time to kind of pass that torch a little bit. And I think we're getting to that point with Travis Kelce where it is torch passing season, for lack of a better term, and I think he'll be just fine as long as they win games. That's the beauty of this football team. They don't care.
And if it's 750 yards, what I want is 300 of those yards to be the Kelce magic moments, because he still has that magic in the bottle that we can use. We've just got to use it throughout, you know, throughout the whole season. He can't use it all at once, and hopefully the guys stay healthy to where he can do that, where it's a third down at six and oh, Kelce does the go left, go right, or it's a red zone play, big touchdown. Use that size, use that connection.
You want his yards to be impactful yards.
Yes.
If he has 700 yards and 10 touchdowns, that's a great year.
Hell yeah.
Amazing.
That's I'm good.
Because that's all that matters are touchdowns.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's what determines whether or not you win. Not yards, touchdowns.
Let your youth get you there.
Exactly.
Let Travis finish it.
Yeah, let Travis finish it in the back of the end zone and get all the touchdowns. And everybody go, damn, man, that ain't cool. We're doing all the work
what
and
the
you're
hell?
Getting all the fun. But, hey, that's what happens when you become aged out, if you will. You get to reap all the benefits. You put in all the hard work for all these years, you get the benefit in your last year to go out. It's fine that way. It's like the seniors, you know, all the younger classmen got to do all the nonsense of work, and the seniors get to kind of coast through that last year. That's where we are. It's senior year for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, and they're going to have a lot of fun, and they may pull some pranks along the way too. I'm looking forward to this season more than I was looking forward to last season, just because.
No way.
Yeah, because
three-peat?
Yeah, because there was a lot of pressure last season. There's no pressure this year, first of all. Can have more fun watching the games because there's not that pressure of three-peating.
It is nice.
But also knowing that it's going to be the last time we're going to see Mahomes and Kelce, I'm excited to see what they are going to do, because they are not going to let us down. You know that, right? They've never let us down. It's going to be fun. It's going to be magical. It's going to be emotional. We'll go through all the feels in every damn game this year, and it's going to be great, man. I'm looking forward to the, as Binkley called it, vengeance time for the Chiefs coming off of three straight Super Bowls. But by God, it's vengeance time for the Chiefs. Senior year for Mahomes and Kelce. Hey, let's go, man. Let's have some fun.
So I've got a couple. I've got two. I'm going to go with the hotter one and I like this
go
more.
Both.
All right. There's a clear number one wide receiver, and it's Rice. And I think you alluded to that a little bit in your take, Dusty, that, you know, Kelce can't be that. You know, it's going to be Worthy. But above that, it is going to be Rice.
Do you know he's going to be suspended?
He'll be suspended, yes. It'll be a few games. And once he gets back, he'll be the catch guy. He'll be that short route, get the first down, yak, eat up the yards, eat up the catches, eat up the targets. That will be Rice. My second is I heard you say, A little worried about the secondary. I was thinking about it last night. I'm really excited about this secondary. I think come like week five, week six, I think the NFL will be like, whoa, this is one of the biggest surprises in the NFL. The Chiefs have one of the youngest and one of the best secondaries in the NFL. I think Noah Williams, the corner that they drafted in the fourth or fifth round there, is going to start day one. I think he's going to be great. I think Christian Fulton as your third corner is awesome. And not to mention you've got Watson and Williams. And then you've got two young stud safeties who can fly around, cover the back half, get up in the box and blitz if they want to. And Jaden Hicks and Byron Cook. And of course, how could I forget the all-pro, the best corner in the NFL, Trent McDuffie, nailing it all down. So I think that secondary is going to be the strength of the defense.
Yeah, I hope so. No concerns about the secondary whatsoever, because they have shown us they can build the secondary. And that's like one of the things that they have nailed with Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Dave Merritt. Shout out him as the defensive back coach, who is one of the more understated coaches in all of the NFL. I mean, that cat's out there every year. Okay, we're taking everybody that was good and we're trading them. Have at it. And Dave Merritt turns guys that you've never heard of into Pro Bowlers. He's done an amazing job back there. And so you got to give that guy a lot of credit as well with where this defense is. And I know that they've come after him to be a defensive coordinator elsewhere. He's staying here. Maybe he's the guy that takes over for Spags when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. And if he had that success with the defensive backs and he can have that over the entire defense, hell yeah, let's go, man. Because those defensive backs are stellar, and we never give Dave Merritt those flowers that he deserves. I don't even know many other assistant coaches on the team, and I know that guy because that's how good he is.
Yes, what he's done.
Watson, yes!
There it is, top of the text line. Some other bold predictions. Chris Jones finally wins Defensive Player of the Year. Rice and Worthy have over 1,000 yards each.
What's it going to take for Chris Jones to get Defensive Player of the Year?
I mean,
he's going to have a sack a game, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 sacks, so yeah, maybe 16.
I think maybe more. Quite honestly, I mean, not TJ Watt, but our guy with the deodorant in Cincinnati,
Trey Hendrickson,
you know, 17 and a half the last 2 years, and he hasn't been Defensive Player of the Year, right?
Well, you don't have to worry about Bosa. He got an injury already.
Oh, he's hurt already?
Strained calf. Going to miss the rest of OTAs and probably some of preseason.
He just can't
avoid it. You can take the Charger out of L.A., but you can't take the L.A. out of the Charger.
I mean, are you kidding? He's already hurt.
Look up Buffalo. Scott and ready to rock.
Look at Ian Report. High officer Patrick, he wins MVP. Buffalo wins Super Bowl. And another bold take from the 6-2. Oh, this guy's no fun. Chiefs miss playoffs. Well, I'm glad that you said that, because Grok has got a poll out for you as well. And we have ours because it's Wednesday. We dive into both on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.